This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
I'm conflicted. When Dennis Cox plays a song as good as Goodbye Yellow Brick Road by Elton John, I feel the tendency not to say anything because I feel like I'm interrupting the song.
Well, all due credit, our man Rusty Helser actually put this together, so I did not choose it, so all credit to Rusty.
That is my top shelf Elton John song. Sarah Bareilles, really good cover of that song too. Be sure to find that on the YouTube. Chris Lee from WRAL is in studio with us.
You almost said WXII.
Almost.
I saw it on your lips.
Almost.
Yeah.
Triad Folk.
Because this would have been, it's just what you would have said 3 years ago.
The three foe.
Yeah.
Exactly. Uh-huh. I mean, Trifo. 102 Jams.
Well, yeah, but WXII.
Oh, I know. I'm just
That's right. Yeah. B-Dot. He describes himself as the sixth man of Tar Heel basketball because that's who he is. If you've gone to Carolina basketball games this past year,
yes,
you know who he is. He's going to be here in about 15 minutes. We'll play a game called Grammar School. We'll introduce you guys to that. But right now, we got to address some tension in the room because I am a fan of The Bachelor. I'm a fan of The Bachelorette, too, in that matter. They got two Bachelorettes this season. It's wild. I don't know if I'm a big fan of Rachel particularly this year, but maybe we can get to that at another time. So, sports fans have given me a lot of grief for this over the years. So, I've had to defend myself a number of times, and whenever you defend yourself on a certain, for a reoccurring thing, you just come up with a defense mechanism, like a defense that's been built already, and there's some lines that you just throw out there. And after a while, you don't even think about it. It's just like, oh, you like The Bachelor? I usually respond with, do you like pro wrestling? Yes. Well, which one's, okay. I've been told this, by the way. There are two F words I can't say during this segment. One is due to the FCC. The other is due to wrestling aficionados, Chris Lee and Dennis Cox that's here on the show. Let's just say that both lack realism. Both probably aren't the most real things that you're watching. It's about entertainment, right? I'm entertained by The Bachelor. You're entertained by wrestling. We're both winners in that regard. And you guys objected to this fervently.
You know what? I don't necessarily object to it probably more than what Dennis does.
Dennis wants to fight me right now.
because I actually watch reality dating shows with my wife.
No way!
Yeah, no
I just don't watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
What are we watching?
Right now we are on F-Boy Island.
Oh, binged both those seasons.
So we're still in the middle of season two. And I actually feel like if you like sports, you should like reality romantic shows.
Because it's competitive.
Well, because it's competitive. And sports, to me, is the best reality show that there is right now, honestly, because you're taking real guys and put them in real situations, head against head.
So you agree with this analogy.
So I'm with it. Yeah. I just don't think that I think the only thing I'll take I guess I don't like when you kind of put it head-to-head against wrestling. You try to make wrestling look like it's not a good form of entertainment.
Oh, whoa.
Because it is. But wrestling is an amazing form of
it
entertainment.
It would be a put-down.
That's the only part that I'm just not with right
okay.
now.
Okay, it would be a put-down if I disliked either, or both of them. If I disliked both of them, it would be a put-down.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, the same way I like The Bachelor,
it's the same way people like wrestling.
That's right.
Okay.
This is me defending myself. I feel like on Twitter at times I have like a little wooden bat and I'm in a corner with a bunch of wrestling people yelling at me. Oh, you like The Bachelor? What a loser. F-Boy Island. Tell you what.
It's a good show, man. Dennis,
man,
you gotta get on it.
Nikki Glaser.
Do I
she's
know?
Hilarious.
I'm a Nikki
Tamaris
Glaser.
Tamaris is
fan,
a snake. Those
said,
who know know.
You said what?
I am a Nikki Glaser fan.
So you'd love it.
But no, but I mean, is she one of the contestants? No.
She's the host.
I know she's the host. That's different.
You get a lot of Nikki Glaser action.
I'm sure.
A lot of it.
Seen her in Good Times in Raleigh. She's great.
I've seen her a couple of times.
Okay, Dennis. So are you now wanting to fight both me and Chris now?
No, I can't fight Chris. Chris is my guy.
Yeah, you guys are together on the Culture State pod.
I feel like I'm the one in the middle here. So
you are
I have to make sure that you guys don't fight. We got to get you guys to see some common ground. Josh, what is your – you just say you don't have anything against wrestling, but what is it about wrestling that disconnects you?
I didn't grow up on it, which is a shame. I feel like anybody who loves wrestling grew up on it.
That's very
true. I don't know many people who are adults saying, you know what I'm really going to get into now?
Wrestling.
I didn't grow up on it, which is kind of amazing because my dad was really close friends with Macho Man Randy Savage.
Really?
I didn't know.
You never told me this.
What? Okay, so I'll tell this story.
Hold on. This is amazing content.
You're just now dropping this?
I've known you for like, six, 7 years, and you've never told me
Let me tell you the story. I was going through family photo books, and I flipped one page that had my dad standing there with Macho Man Randy Savage.
And a Slim Jim.
And Miss Elizabeth in our foyer. And I'm like, Dad, is this a cardboard cutout or is this Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth? He's like, yeah, that's them. That's Randy. I'm like, Dad, explain. And what he told me was he used to work for Piedmont Airlines back when that was an airline in Baltimore back in the 80s. And you know, wrestlers made friends with people that worked at the airline so that they can be picked up right at the plane and go elsewhere. And he got to know Randy, and Randy would take him to all of the shows. Like, my dad was at WrestleMania 3, like, sitting in the front row. And
Wait a second. So
he was there for
Savage Steamboat?
That's right.
Wait a second.
There was a situation where my dad showed me a video one time of Rowdy Roddy Piper. Like, I forget who the wrestler was that had, like, a garden set up or something. And he just took a baseball bat to it on one WrestleMania. And he's like, yeah, that was my baseball bat. I'm like, really? That was your baseball bat? He's like, yeah, Eddie Murray gave me that baseball bat to give to Macho Man. And Rowdy Roddy Piper just saw it sitting there and he smashed it on TV. I'm like, Dad, these are amazing stories that you're telling me here.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Hold on.
We need to interview your dad.
Yeah.
Should we call him up? No.
I want
to
get your
dad. He actually asked me today, hey, you got any time? I might call up the show today.
Yeah.
I'll just call up the show. No.
Cancel everything.
But I didn't know whether or not this was my dad over-exaggerating it all until a few years ago was talking to Leaping Lanny Poffo in the air, talking about WrestleMania one time. And at the end of the interview, Lanny was like, I just want to say one thing that to make your audience clear on something. Your dad did something not a lot of people ever did. He befriended the Macho Man. Apparently Macho Man, because Lanny Poffo is Randy's brother, was pretty closed off. Didn't have a lot of people that were close to him. My dad was apparently one of those people in the 80s.
Yo.
This segment took a turn, didn't it? So yeah. I don't dislike wrestling.
Oh my, he totally disarmed us.
Yeah.
He's
texting me right now. Adrian Adonis's flower shop. He texted me that Rowdy Roddy Piper crushed. And it was Eddie Murray's bat. You can find the video on YouTube. That was my dad's bat that Eddie Murray told him to give to Macho Man.
I don't know what to say right now. I really don't know what to say. Like, your dad is a legend.
I didn't know.
Your dad is a legend. Like, Graham is a legend.
Well, he's listening to this right now. Like I said,
legend. Thank you for listening.
I walked up to his house this morning, and he was listening to this station in his bed. He hadn't got out of bed, so he loves this station. He's listening right now.
I think my time here is done. Like, I mean, you wanted me to be here for 30 minutes. I think.
But he was as nonchalant as I'm telling you this, was as nonchalant as I learned it. Like, my dad had, like, he wasn't supposed to tell anybody when Macho Man would stay at his house, but he had a buddy that was a huge wrestling fan, and he said, he called him up. He lived 45 minutes away. He goes, his name was Chuck. Chuck, you're going to want to come over to my house right now, and I can't tell you why. Scott, I live 45 minutes away. You're going to want to come over to my house. So he goes over to his house, and this is the way Chuck described it to me. Door opens, it's Miss Elizabeth. Hey, you must be Chuck. And at first he's thinking, I think that looks like Miss Elizabeth, but this is Scott's house. So then he walks up the stairs, describes my dad as having a man, how do you like me now type of smirk, and then right behind his ear saying, oh, yeah, you must be Chuck. And it's the bleeping Macho Man. How would you react if I did that to you, Chris Lee?
I think I would wet myself. Like, I just hope that I'm not wearing khaki or gray pants at the time. Because, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, to hear, like, this is legendary. And that's one of the things which you mentioned earlier. Macho Man didn't make a lot of friends.
No.
So the fact that your dad, this guy that I'm sitting across from that I've known all this time, you've known that I've been a pro wrestler before.
Yeah, you have.
Your former producer used to be one of my referees.
Yeah.
And this story has never come up until now. It's crazy.
And it's on air.
And I am, my mind is blown. And I'm usually not speechless, but my God, I'm speechless right now.
Wow, did this segment turn around? You thought that I'd be some wrestling-hating buffoon, but no. I appreciate wrestling, and I just so happen to appreciate The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Did any,
you like what you like.
All this happened in Maryland and not in North Carolina?
In Maryland.
Okay. Because if it happened in North Carolina, I was going to say me and Dennis have some Culture State interviews to book right now with your dad.
Yeah.
Because like there's some stories that we got to hear.
He lives 30 minutes away from here. He's available.
But I'm going to want to know if they went out to a bar in Raleigh, though. That's the main thing. Like, so if that's ever happened, Mr. Graham, if you've ever been to a bar in Raleigh, North Carolina with the Macho Man Randy Savage, please,
hear this.
We've got to interview you for our podcast.
Oh, so, my dad's a legend. The incomparable B-Dot is a legend as well. And he'll join us as we introduce you to a game we call Grammar School. Josh Graham in for Adam Gold, Chris Lee, WREL in studio, and they are just marveling at some of these pictures I'm showing them now.
Can I tell the people what just happened? You just showed me a picture of your mom and a professional wrestler, and he said, I don't know who this guy is, but here's my mom with this guy. It's Paul Orndorff.
Yeah.
Paul Orndorff. Like, anybody who knows pro wrestling definitely knows who Paul Orndorff is, and I'm over here just marking out, just...
Yeah, and I'm getting messages.
Like every wrestling fan is losing their mind.
And
right
someone
now.
Just messaged who's a baseball fan. Wait, your dad was also friends with Eddie Murray?
Yeah. We mentioned that during the break. Wait a second.
Skipped over that part because of Macho Man.
Now, real quickly, because I know B-Dot's waiting for us. We'll get to him in a second. That's another example of I don't know if my dad is over-exaggerating. So we're at a Texas Rangers game. He said this is back when Ron Washington was the manager of the Texas Rangers. My dad was also friends with Ron Washington, too, apparently. It's like, oh, yeah, he goes by Wolf. So we go by the dugout, and my dad yells, hey, Wolf. And Ron Washington looks up, hey, what's up, Scott? And, you know, Eddie Murray also was, like, on the list of stuff they sent out for their wedding and stuff like that. So, yeah, my dad's a legend, I've come to learn. Someone's writing it. I'm surprised Miss Elizabeth was allowed to open the door alone. Maybe in that instance.
That is hilarious. That is hilarious, whoever said that.
Pretty good.
That is hilarious.
Let's go to B-Dot, who, if you don't know B-Dot, shame on you. He is the sixth man of Tar Heel basketball. If you go to a Carolina basketball game, or you did last year, he's the one hyping everybody up, getting Roy Williams and other to sway side to side while you swag surf. You actually swag surfed at my wedding earlier this year.
He did it so well, he made Carolina fans think that they came up with it themselves.
Now, describe the scene, Dot. You were a groomsman in my wedding, and the song starts to play, and what happens?
We all get excited. The entire audience goes crazy. Like, everybody's screaming. Ah! It's like pandemonium, and then the music, and then the band comes back on, and the music stops. And then the band performs, and then they drop Swag Surf again, and we turn back up again.
Yeah. I think it was one of those deals. We didn't plan it, and I just look back at you and I say, assemble the people, or something of that sort. And Dot just jumps on stage and grabs the microphone, and it's a really cool deal. I want to introduce the state of North Carolina to a game that we play.
Right.
Chris Lee's here from WRAL.
Right.
Almost said WXII because, like you, he's from the Triad.
Right.
But Grammar School... Explain the rules really quickly to the uninitiated.
It's very simple. I have three words or a phrase right here in front of me. I will ask those to Josh Graham. They are of the urban persuasion. There's a lot of, you know, words and phrases that we use a lot in the urban roles. And I know that Josh, he's in those settings a lot. So he needs to understand some of the things that he may hear in a locker room or in passing. So that was the origin of Grammar School. But this is season two for all you late people. This is season two. And in season two, Josh has a word or phrase of the Caucastic persuasion that he likes to ask me first.
Yeah, I do. So I'll just ask you real quickly. It's an easy one. What's a mint julep?
No.
What is a mint julep?
A mint julep?
A mint julep.
I've heard of it, but I do not know what this is.
A mint julep is a beverage that I can get at Starbucks for half off on Tuesdays.
That is incorrect.
Dang it.
It's an alcoholic
sir.
Beverage.
Wrong.
Mostly consisting of bourbon, and I can't think of a more Caucastic beverage than a mint julep.
It's often found at the Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
You knew what a mint julep was?
Yeah.
Cultural differences.
Hey, we're coming together.
I don't appreciate your sound effects, Dennis. It's a lot different. That was very loud. And you know, but
all right. So we're not off on the best foot, but that's usually how it goes for me. Maybe this is foreshadowing. I have Chris Lee here as a lifeline to help me out should I need a little bit of help. I get one lifeline.
Correct. All right. Up first, Josh Graham. What does it mean to watch my six? Watch my six. If I tell you to watch my six, what am I saying to you? And if you have any sort of military experience, it would help you in this situation because it is a term that is used a lot in the military. But again, what does it mean to watch my six?
Watch my six.
Josh, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you now, you cannot count on me for this one because I grew up in the suburbs.
Man,
Dennis Cox knows this one?
I do.
Oh, wow. Let me think on this for a second. Watch my six. I can see that. You're like walking out of the room. Hey, man, watch my six. I'm going to say it's like watching somebody's back, so to speak. Like the same way you would tell someone to cover you. Like in one of these bank robbery movies. Hey, cover me. Maybe this is like, watch my back, watch my six. That's what I'm guessing.
That would be 100% correct, Josh.
Yeah!
Okay. Good job.
Let's go!
Good stuff.
100% correct.
Woo! Wow.
Up next, did not have to use a lifeline. You're on a good foot, Josh Brown.
Okay.
If someone says they are about to let the chopper ring.
Let the chopper what?
Let the chopper ring.
Yeah, what does that
rain?
Mean?
Like R-A-I-N?
Ring.
Ring.
R-I-N-G. Ring.
Or the chopper can sing.
Or the chopper could sing.
The chopper could sing too.
We're playing Grammar School. Let the chopper ring.
Chop, chop, chop.
Is the question. Dot, explain what advice you normally get me if I'm in a rut.
Oh, okay. So, Josh Graham, over the years that we've been playing this, whenever he doesn't know the answer to something, the answer is usually drugs. So, he has a theory that whenever he doesn't know the answer, to just guess drugs.
Or guns.
Or guns. Drugs or guns is one or the other.
And I think that's where I'm headed here. I'm going to keep my lifeline so that way I have a shot at the third one in case I don't know. Let the chopper ring, I'm going to say, is like bang, bang, pow, pow. Like you're shooting a weapon. You're emptying the clip, so to speak.
Can I please hear the weapon again?
Okay. It's bang, bang, pow, pow.
Yeah, no. Correct. You're correct.
Yes!
Good stuff. Good stuff.
I'm so excited. I love this game when it goes well. I hate it when it doesn't.
Now, Chris and Dennis, do not let him know the answer to this. Because if you would let him know you know the answer, he'll just automatically say lifeline and get 3 for 3.
Okay.
So if you know the answer, I need poker faces on this.
Okay.
Josh.
Uh-huh.
What is a Richard Milley?
Richard Milley. Okay. Richard Milley went to Johns Hopkins. Is that good enough for you? Oh, I smoked pot with Johnny Hopkins. I love Step Brothers. Richard Milley. I'm going to use my lifeline. I'm going to look at Chris. He doesn't want to make eye contact with me, so I think he knows.
Sorry, Dot.
Oh, my gosh.
And the lifeline, am I telling you straight out?
Yeah, you just tell me.
Okay. It is a watch.
Oh.
It's an expensive, really luxurious.
Not like my Apple Watch.
Watch. No. You do not have a Richard Milley.
No.
I left that one at home in Winston, my Richard Milley.
Are you going to go with that as your answer, Josh Graham?
Yes, I am.
As your final answer?
That's correct.
To go 3 for 3 for the day?
Yeah.
Then you are correct.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You always do well when you sit in AG seat, man. I think
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And Richard Milley's, they start at $400,000, just in case you were in.
More than what my house costs.
I want to tee up Dot on something here real quick.
Tee me up?
So I saw this Chet Holmgren news that Chet Holmgren's out for the year with that dreaded Liz Frank injury that got Matt Corral and got Cam Newton. What do you know about Liz Frank's?
All right, so Liz Frank's, like, this is an injury that happened because there was a French doctor named Jacques Liz Frank, right? And these soldiers in the French war, they would be dismounting from their horses, and they would get these injuries in their foot where they would break like the middle of their foot. And Dr. Liz Frank did so many successful surgeries in that regard that they named that injury the Liz Frank injury, to the point where Napoleon Bonaparte, he had the Liz Frank injury, and Dr. Jacques Liz Frank actually healed him as well.
Look at you, Dot.
See?
Yeah.
This is why we go to Dot.
My man is a historian now. Not only is it black history, he knows world history.
I didn't know that. Maybe you didn't either. Dot, so before we let you go as well, we're 2 days away from the Tar Heels kicking it off against Florida A&M. You love the Tar Heels, but you love your HBCUs as well. How conflicted are you Saturday night?
Very, very, very conflicted. But because I know that, you know, that UNC signs the checks, go baby. You know what I'm – listen, Heels going to dominate. No, I'm expecting a good game from FAMU. Like I was saying earlier this week, man, as far as HBCUs are concerned, this is a big, big deal. It's a chance for us to get on the main stage and really compete against a big school like Carolina. And I'm expecting FAMU to play very, very, difficult or hard or tough and give them a game. But I'm expecting Carolina to win. I got a lot of guys over there that I'm rooting for, Ja and Ra-Ra and Travis. And, you know, I'm just excited for the Carolina boys, and I just hope that they can, you know, they got Drake May at the helm. And, you know, it's some exciting things and some exciting energy around Chapel Hill, especially seeing we're going to be leaving from the blue-white scrimmage, where that's going to be very, very exclusive because, like, coaches and some media people can't even come to this joint. It's off the chains.
You going to let me in?
Nope. But if you subscribe to my Instagram, you can watch.
All right, there you go. That's a pretty good tease.
Is that why when we've tried to get in contact with everybody, nobody would get in contact with us about putting cameras in there?
I haven't heard back. I texted the folks over there. I haven't heard back.
I'm telling you, man, like, I've been talking to coaches and stuff, and, like, coaches can't even be in there. Like, it's media that work for Carolina that can't be in there due to the NIL rules. I'm not 100% educated on how all that works. I'm just happy that I got the phone call that I can be there and I can do the PA, and we're going to have 21,000 fans in there and two guest coaches, and it's going to be a great time.
Dot, love you, bro. Thanks for doing this.
Love you, too. Anytime, man. Y'all be good, guys.
There we go.
See you, Dot.
That's B-Dot, six-man Atarial basketball, and he's bringing up good points about, like, these Carolina football players that he knows. See, you're from the Triad. He's from the Triad, the Trafo, and a lot of the defensive players that are these top recruits Mac Brown's brought in, Kavari Ritzy and Travis Shaw and Ra-Ra Dilworth, all guys who come from the 336. So appreciate his time. I just got a message in the last minute or so from my dad saying, the legend, Choppa is an automatic gun. Thanks, Dad. And watch your back. Also a police term. Watch your six. There you go. It's halftime. Can you stick around for one more?
I got to head to WREL.
Get out of here. Get out of here then. I know
gotta
you got
WREL. Oh, come on.
Let's give some applause for
thank you for
Chris
having me,
Lee
though.
Hanging out with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's just good to see you, man.
Mike,
keep crushing it
too.
Over there. From the Culture State Pod, back on the radio next week. And this week you got Devontae Graham on the pod.
Got Devontae Graham on the Culture State Podcast. Check it out. And we will be back on the radio. Dennis and I right here, mm-hmm. Culture State Saturday. It'll be live on 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. It'll be live on WRLSportsFan.com. You can go there. And then it'll also be live on WRL Sports Plus. You can watch it on television streaming.
So you're getting off to WRL. We're getting off to halftime.
By the way, real fast, on September 3rd, we'll be at East Carolina for NC State ECU. We'll
I got the restaurant recommendations. Okay. There's also a place in Raleigh. They have a store in Raleigh now. Best barbecue joint I know.
Oh.
Sam Jones Barbecue. Pay them a visit. There you go. You're welcome. There's Chris Lee, everybody.
Appreciate that. Thank you for having me, man.
Let's go to halftime.
Now, bye, Chris.
Your halftime entertainment.
All right, as Chris exits the studio, he'll walk by the camera. It's totally fine. So, first things first here. You a fan of The Walking Dead?
Walking Dead?
Yeah. Or did you ever dabble into the show a little bit?
I remember when I was in college when it was first starting to air and there was somebody I was trying to impress that watched the show. I also did that with Laguna Beach way back in the day.
Okay.
That's
where the reality
I would watch the show
in.
Just to have something to talk about with women. I'd be like, hey, can you believe Jess and Bobby? Like, what a snake. To have something to talk about.
What a snake.
And... yeah.
What a snake.
It didn't really work out for The Walking Dead. It never really caught on.
Okay.
For me.
Well, there's actually a spinoff show, and there's been a couple already, but there's another one featuring a couple of the main characters, including Maggie and Negan. Negan played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Now, reason why I bring up Jeffrey Dean Morgan, do you watch The Boys on Amazon Prime? Or have you seen it?
I've heard of The Boys.
Okay.
I've been told I need to watch this.
It's not for the faint of heart. I'm just going to go and put that out there. See? But... Jeffrey Dean Morgan officially added to season 4 of The Boys, which just started filming. So he's not only going to be in a spinoff series of The Walking Dead, a show he's been featured on, I believe, since season 6 or 7. But he's also going to be now part of The Boys as well.
See, would you describe yourself as a movie person or a TV show person?
Yes.
Not usually.
I love both.
Usually it's more one than the other.
I love both.
Okay. You can like both, though, but do you spend more time watching movies or music? Or not music, TV shows?
Well, probably TV just because it just physically takes more time.
Yeah. So
simply because of that reason.
For me, I don't watch a lot of TV shows at all. I'm kind of TV illiterate in a lot of senses because I watch a lot of movies. Like during the fall and spring, I usually... prep shows and I'm doing work while I have games on late night at around like 10, 11 o'clock at night. But during the summer, there's not as many games that I have to watch. So I have to have something on and it's always movies. So just in the last couple of months after I got married, getting back to work and getting back into the heat of things, I've always just had movies on. Like I've watched easily 20 movies in the last month.
Oh, really?
Easily. And there, I try to watch movies I've never seen. So like, First Blood, I hadn't watched before. The Untouchables. A lot of movies in the 80s that I hadn't seen before that I've been knocking out. So that's usually my way of doing things. There are not a lot of TV shows I like or that I watch a lot other than The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, which makes me a strange person, I understand.
Okay, it's fine. We all have our things. We all have our things. But, hey, you know, for me, I like television shows. Like, for example, The Boys, they're about 8 episodes per season. So it's not overbearing. Like 8, 10, 12, depending on the length of each episode, makes things a lot more bearable. It's hard to get into a show that's got 23, 24 episodes in a season. It's like, man, there's 5 seasons. I'm told I got to watch it, but it's a lot. It's a big-time time commitment. Unless it's something along the lines of maybe an Office or Parks and Rec where episodes are only about 21, 22 minutes after the commercials have been taken out. So it's a lot easier to binge, but watching a show that's a 45 minutes. I don't know. It just takes a little bit more time.
The only non-reality TV show that I've watched in recent months was Barry on HBO. I binged all of that.
I need to watch that. I've heard good things about that show.
Love Bill Hader.
Bill Hader is great. Now, since you are a movie fan.
Yes.
Did you ever watch A Christmas Story?
Oh, yeah. You'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah. Well, there's a sequel.
Oh, no.
Follow-up coming. That's right. Yesterday, Warner Brothers shuffled around some release dates. And it looks like the sequel to A Christmas Story is going to arrive November 17th this year.
Who we got? Like one of the kids from Stranger Things going to be playing Ralphie?
Well, I don't. Here's the thing. I don't know when it's going to be set. I don't know if, like, for example, the kid that played Ralphie is now a dad now, and it's his own Christmas story now being a parent. I don't know.
So this is going to be a movie, or is it going to be a series like a TV show?
It's a movie, but it's going to be on HBO Max. So I think it might be an HBO Max exclusive.
Okay. I'm going to give it a shot. I don't know how old A Christmas Story is now. I don't know.
83.
Huh.
So older than me.
Sounds like it's about... I've seen more egregious remakes than this.
Yeah.
So let's give it a shot. Update it a little bit. I'm sure. Just refresh it a little bit. I don't have an issue with that. Some classics I don't think you touch. Like, I don't think... Like, in recent weeks, Olivia Newton-John passed away. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to brush up on Grease at all.
No.
Because of when that movie was set. It was set into the 50s, and still what the 50s were like, even in 1970 when the movie was made, 1977, I think.
I mean, this, I can't remember, was Christmas Story based in the 30s, 40s?
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
A long
so
time ago.
I guess by that logic, too, it's a good point you bring up. I don't know if we need the remake, but we'll see.
Well, I don't think it's a remake. I think it's just an actual sequel to the movie.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think it's a redo or reboot or remake. It's just a, here's the sequel. Kind of like Top Gun Maverick was the original Top Gun.
Got you. Okay. I think I could talk myself into that.
Okay. Well, have fun getting into that. Because I don't know. To me, A Christmas Story is a little bit overrated.
Whoa!
It's a fun movie. It's a fun movie, but people are like all in on it. I'm like, I don't know.
It's a kid's movie, man.
Yeah, I know.
And
it can be overrated.
If kids like it, it's hard. I've never heard anyone
kids
say
like
a kid's movie.
A lot of
movie.
Things that aren't great.
I know. I've never heard someone say a kid's movie is overrated. It's like when someone asks me, like we use our adult sensibilities to define things. It's like when people ask me who the best Batman is, and I always say, it's Adam West.
No.
Adam West! Mm. No, people are like, oh no, it's Christian Bale and all these others. I'm like, well, no, like, if you read the comic books, as I'm sure you did.
Oh, yeah, I still do.
Yeah, and, you know, what best captured that? What was the best Batman who was made to be a children's character initially? I think Adam West. Pow! And the red phone and all that. I think best exemplified it. Best portrayed Batman.
With the shark repellent?
Exactly.
Speaking of comic books and movies.
We're going to talk to Steve Forbes tomorrow about Batman. Like Adam West's Batman. Because that man will fight you to the death that Adam West is the best Batman.
Oh, really?
He will.
All right. I'm here for this conversation. By the way, the Thor Love and Thunder digital release has actually been set for September. So people that want to watch the movie and still don't want to go to theaters, you're looking at September 8th for digital release.
Who owns more Marvel superhero comic book merch? You? I guess Ovius is not the hugest.
No, he's not. It's not even close.
I have a producer in the triad who might even out Star Wars Joe Ovius in terms of merch that he owns.
In terms of, I don't own a lot of Star Wars merch. I watched all the shows and movies multiple times.
How much Marvel Universe merch do you have?
Define merch. Are we talking just shirts, action figures? Are we actually talking books as well?
Yes.
A lot. But I also have a lot of DC and independent stuff. I've got multiple bookshelves full of books, figures. I've got a lot.
You like what you like.
Yeah, I like what I like. But also enjoy independent comics as well. For example, The Walking Dead that I mentioned earlier was based off of a comic book, an independent book by Robert Kirkman.
Hmm.
Same thing with The Boys. It's based off a story by Garth Ennis. Both independent published.
a movie I recently rewatched again. I rewatched the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans recently.
Okay.
Want a hot take?
I might not disagree with you depending on your hot take.
Spider-Man 2 is the best superhero movie ever.
Get out of here.
Better than The Dark Knight, which just ripped off Heat.
Okay.
It ripped off Heat.
Okay.
It did. Oh, all you right. think that scene with this Batman is... and the Joker meeting face-to-face was original? Or is it the same thing as De Niro meeting face-to-face with Pacino in 95 in Heat? It even has a bank robbery in it.
Okay. Spider-Man had bank robbers.
Because
Doc Ock stole money in a bank, too. So get your take out of here.
No, but the face-to-face part, it's Heat. The Dark Knight's Heat. That's all it is.
It's far from Heat.
Okay. I love Heat, by the way. And I love The Dark Knight.
It's a great movie.
But Spider-Man 2 is better.
Because of the FCC, we're going to break.
Oh, no. That's been halftime entertaining.
I recently rewatched Spider-Man 2. And I was like, is it as good as we remember it? It's not.
Whoa!
It is not. It is average. Pure average.
I love that movie. Kirsten Dunst gets it done.
No, she...
This halftime entertainment was more entertaining for one person than the other on this show. That's all we got for that.
That's all you get.
How to get me going, Dennis Cox. Eric B and Rakim.
Oh.
What an hour it's been. B Dot in here. Grammar School was great. I'm Josh Graham, by the way, in for Adam Gold. Blowing your minds from a wrestling perspective with Chris Lee in studio. You're going to want to hear the Macho Man Randy Savage story on the podcast later. Just search the best of the Adam Gold Show wherever you get your podcasts. We are a couple days away from week zero. College football is essentially here, y'all. So let's place our bets.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can own me. I owe you one.
I'll let you mess around with preseason stuff, EPL, or whatever obscure stuff you're going to find. If betting were legal, then I just winked for the camera. Then I would only bet on football. Football is the only thing that I really look at that closely. I've been doing a lot of research, and I've got some football bets to hand out. And I'm going to start with Illinois in the Big Ten. Adam Gold has units.
Yes.
That he hands out. I'm going to spend 110 of Adam Gold's units, lay it, to lay 11 points with Illinois against Wyoming.
Okay. So you have Illinois minus 11.
Why? Former Syracuse quarterback Tommy DeVito announced as the starter for Illinois. I'm a Brett Bielema guy. He was quoted this offseason as saying, I didn't come back to college to only win 5 games. Okay. I hear you, coach. If you're going to win more than 5, you better beat Wyoming because Josh Allen's not walking through that door. Josh Allen also not playing against the Carolina Panthers tomorrow night, but he will be playing for the Buffalo Bills and not the Wyoming Cowboys. So, yes, Illinois in Champaign, which is an underrated college football environment, lay the points.
All right.
What do you got?
I'm going to go to Europa Conference League qualifying here. A little soccer action.
Here we go.
The only reason why I'm going with this game is just because of the team name or one of the team names. So Anderlecht is playing Young Boys.
Anderlecht, great coach.
Sure. But Young Boys?
Yeah, them boys, you better watch out.
Yeah, give me a draw plus 240.
There you go. How about another football bet?
All right.
Usually, I think betting under is for cowards and for people that don't like fun. But if you're looking at week zero, where things might be a little bit undercooked before the season starts, your offenses probably take a little bit longer than the defenses, and you're talking about the Big Ten, and you're talking about traveling overseas to Ireland, 50 points is a lot. Give me the under of 49.5, and I have 110 units. So once again,
minus 110.
Minus 110. Going to take the under on Northwestern and Nebraska. I see that spread's also 13.5. Give me that too. Give me that candy with Northwestern.
All right.
Next up,
Chiefs Packers tonight, preseason action. Give me the Chiefs to win it plus 105.
Is that the Super Bowl preview or is that the other game tonight, Texans 49ers?
The other.
Huh. Who's to say? We'll find out when we get to Arizona. Get to Glendale, I should say. Got to be specific about these things. Like, who? Where are we going? What NFL city are we going to next hour?
Well, we're going to the Bills, so to Orchard Park, New York.
See? That's why I asked. It's not Buffalo. It's Orchard Park.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you would think we're going to Phoenix if we're going to the Super Bowl. No.
Glendale.
Going to Glendale. Okay. So, that's your preseason bet tonight?
Yeah, I already have one already at the Texans over the 49ers at plus 150.
There you go. How about I look at a season future here? This is the last bet I'll hand out.
All right.
I look at MVP odds. I see Josh Allen's at the very top of that list.
Sure.
Man, a lot of people feel good about Justin Herbert. You can get it 10-1 to win the NFL MVP. How about we scan down that list a little bit and look at 20-1. One Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
The Ravens have one of the 10 or 11 easiest schedules in the NFL, according to Warren Sharp, who I happen to trust. And Lamar thinks he is owed Deshaun money rather than Kyler Murray money. And unlike Kyler, he's won an MVP already and has won a playoff game. So maybe Lamar's right in that. A lot of people doubting Lamar. So I'm going to think Lamar has the Steph Curry, Will Zalatoris, what are they going to say now, MVP type of season. You get great value at 20-1. That's my MVP pick. I think the Ravens have a great season this year, and Lamar going to be the NFL MVP.
So plus 2,000.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So
pretty impressive.
Plus 2,000, 20-1. I like it for Lamar. Give me one more.
My final one, Yankees are in action tonight.
Yeah, they are.
They're on the road playing against Oakland, against the Athletics. We'll see what the fans are up to in the top of the stadium there in Oakland tonight.
I saw that story.
Okay. Anthony Rizzo to hit a home run, plus 390.
Okay. Not Judge.
Nope, not Judge. Anthony Rizzo to hit a home
run. Looking for number 50.
Yeah.
Or number 49.
Judge to hit a homer is a plus 210. But I'm going to go Rizzo hitting a home run, plus 390.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually done, sometimes have done decent on these home run picks.
What home run race are you more excited for heading into September? Albert Pujols looking for 700, which only Ruth, Aaron, and Bonds have achieved, three away from A-Rod for fourth all time. Or is it Aaron Judge, who right now sits at 48 after the home run a couple nights ago, chasing Roger Maris and the Yankee record of 61?
Honestly, the Yankee one does not appeal to me at all.
Because some view that as the real single-season home run record, because the only people that hit more busted with steroids, Bonds, McGuire, and Sosa.
Yeah, I see that. And also, there's only 154 games played in those seasons as well. So that I get. But to me, seeing Albert Pujols, that's a career achievement of getting 700. I don't necessarily call that a race.
And he's 42.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but he's feeling 42.
I'm sure he is.
Who's going to write that song? I'd listen to that.
Feeling 42?
Maybe Taylor Swift 10 years from now.
I hope she does.
I'd listen to that.
I know you would.
On the ride in this morning. Just kidding. Woke up listening to music. I was listening to Springsteen by Eric Church. Live version. And then on the drive in, here's how I get my mind right for the show. 10-minute version, All Too Well, Taylor Swift. Boom.
This is the Adam Gold Show.